This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It's Monday. We're off and running. It is October. Yesterday, we had a potluck dinner after church. It was Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and I do appreciate being able to pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And almost 30, coming up on 33 years now. And later this month, we will conclude our 12th broadcast year. That will take place around October the 27th. We'll officially mark the beginning of our 13th year. It's hard to believe. Life has been very busy since I started this program back in 2013. It was not on my horizon, was not on my to-do list. And but when God opened the door, our board felt like it was from the Lord. And so we have been doing it. Excuse me. And we would like to say thank you to people who've helped keep us on the air for these 12 years. And Treasurer Landscape is one of those people. They have really, really been a blessing. They love Jesus, and they love the Refresh Radio program. They are a family-based landscaping business with over two decades worth of experience. They also have Space Coast Nursery, where they have a full array of plants and trees for your yard, whatever you might be looking for. They got lots of great ideas. For the landscaping business, they have a full array of products. They do paver installation, provide landscaping services. They do putting greens, artificial turf, which is different. It's the longer bladed grass. They do work on drains and downspouts. They have landscape lighting, water features. They handle everything from design to planting to maintenance, and they can transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432 for landscaping. For the nursery, Space Coast Nursery, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, that phone number is 321-452-5565. They're great people, great at what they do, and we want to thank them for being a blessing to the Refresh Radio program. Today we are going to return to Psalm 69. We were here Thursday and Friday and revisiting it here until we get through, not verse by verse, but sections of this psalm. And on Thursday, we talked about the reality that David was facing, that he was crying out to God for salvation because he was being overwhelmed with problems. They were so deep, he couldn't touch the bottom. The levels were rising to the point that they were almost up to his neck. When it's up to your neck, then you're pretty close to being underwater. That doesn't good. He was crying out to God to save him. He said that the number of people who were hating him and plotting evil against him were more than the number of the hairs on his head. He does go into verse number 5. That's where I'm going to begin reading today, and then we're going to pick up our discussion at verse number 9. It says, "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, and am alien to my mother's children, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. That was verse number 9. So on Friday, we talked about that God knows our foolishness, and he knows our sins. We also talked about on Friday about some strained relationships that we might have with others here on earth. But that brings us to verse number 9. Some of that strain that was going on that David mentions with his brothers to his siblings, some of that had to do with David's zeal for the house of God. I made a statement a long time ago, over 30 years ago, when my wife and I moved to Florida. We moved here because I had a job selling shoes. They wanted me to come here and manage a store. And a year and a half later, that company went out of business, and I ended up, you know, still selling shoes after a while, and did that until that store lost its lease. But when I made this statement, I wasn't the pastor of the church, but I was a person that loved Jesus. I had a call to ministry on my life. And I was serving in the local church, and I made this statement: I don't understand how people survive without having a local church that they can be a part of. Because I can tell you, with nearly 60 years of Christian experience under my belt, there's been a lot of times when other believers were my support system and helped me up, helped me during difficult times, encouraged me when people were, you know, telling me I was worthless. There were other people that said, we believe in you and God believes in you. So people who choose not to attend church, I openly confess here today that I don't understand the thinking process. Now, I do understand, you know, that there have been some people traumatized by the church. I'm not saying that everything that has happened in churches has been grand and glorious, because they haven't always been grand and glorious for me, but God has. And it's God and his house that I have a passion for. I want you to go back and read verses 1-4 and see how stuck David was. The way he describes himself is that he is immobilized. He is incapacitated from being able to do much of what he wants to do. And yet, in verse number 9, he says that there is a zeal for the house of God that has eaten him up or consumed him. So, I would ask you to do a self-assessment and ask yourself this: what's my attitude? Is there a driving force in my life for the house of God? Because a lot of times people treat God's house as optional at best, of a place to go when convenient, a place to gather at times of necessity for weddings and funerals, but there's really not a zeal that drives them. Now, zeal has to, Paul would write about himself that he was more zealous than his companions. He was more zealous than those around him. But he was zealous without knowledge. He knew the letter, but he didn't know the spirit. But when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and there was a long season of being retrained in how to think, when Barnabas went and got Saul, who became Paul, and brought him to Antioch to help with the ministry, from that point on, there was nothing that was going to stop Paul from preaching the gospel. He was zealous for the house of God. In fact, he was arrested in the temple courtyard. They thought he had violated the protocol of the courtyard and brought someone in that wasn't supposed to be there, but that's where they found him. So let me ask you, once you've done your self-assessment, and I would hope that you would come more to the zealous side for the house of God than you are to the apathy side. Those are the two poles, if you will. There are people who are apathetic. They don't care about the house of God at all. And then there are people who are zealous for the house of God. And then somewhere in the middle there is where most of us fall. You see, not too many people that I know are willing to go truly anywhere and say truly whatever God wants them to say. So there is that, you know, zealous to the uttermost, and that's not a negative. But how do we get there? How do we get there? I would also tell you that it not only has to do with the corporate house, but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be zealous to take care of our own physical well-being, to make sure that we are good stewards of our body so it doesn't hinder our spiritual ministry. I've got this little seed that was planted in my spirit as I was doing some study in the scriptures about some of the traps that the enemy sets for us. And it was like, oh man, that I don't remember ever having read that before. And so I'm excited about sharing, you know, the word that God gives me, because there are times when God gives me a word for myself. There are other times when God gives me words for the radio. There's times that God gives me words for individuals. There's times that the word is for the church. And every once in a while, those recipients cross over, which is a nice occurrence when it happens. But I want to live to where I am free from the snares of the enemy, so I can be zealous to take good care of the temple of the Holy Spirit in my body, and also the house of God. So let me say this. Jesus' example for us was that it was his regular custom to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's what the word says. I saw a post years ago on social media, and it said, would Jesus be out helping the poor, or would Jesus be in the house of God? And that person concluded he would have been out doing works of service. And I will tell you that Jesus, it says, made it his custom to be in the house of God. And it was the fact that he was in the house of God on the Sabbath and did miracles to those who were on behalf of those who were hurting and struggling, that's what originally raised the anger of the religious leadership. But always remember, we keep God first. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like that. We love our neighbor as ourself. We've got to keep the great commandment as the great commandment. And the second that follows after that is empowered not only with good intentions, but it's empowered by the anointing of God. So we need to be in the house of God. If at all possible, you need to be in the house of God. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because Jesus is the one that set the example. And listen, there was a tremendous worship service that happened on a Sunday. It was Charlie Kirk's memorial service. There were people that were saved at that memorial service. There was praise and worship that was going on. It was quite exhilarating. That's a small, it was a crowd in the hundreds of thousands. And that's small compared to what we're going to experience when we get to heaven. Heaven is going to be the gathering of the saints in the presence of God to glorify and honor God. And so there was a pattern that was given to Moses. That was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle stayed in place until Solomon built the temple. But it was David who brought the tabernacle to the place where he could be a part of it. It was there. He just loved to be in the presence of God. It says he would sit in the presence of God. But when Solomon built the temple, even though he built it very luxuriously and very, very glamorously, David was the one who originally desired to build the house, and God told him, no, you don't get to build it. And David said, but you didn't say I couldn't plan for it. You didn't say that I couldn't prepare for it. You didn't say that I couldn't amass all of the resources that were going to be necessary. There were designs, the weight and the design of every utensil, and David was the one who was so zealous for that, that when Solomon came, even though it took a long time, David's zeal for the house of God had made Solomon's job a whole lot easier. So zeal is something that internally motivates you. It's not externally motivated. So if you have a mortgage, you are externally motivated to go out and work so that you can pay your mortgage. I saw recently where one of our churches, it had been, it's one of the oldest Assembly God churches in Florida. It just had its 100th anniversary, and I think it's been damaged by some storms through the years and things like that. And as they launched or as they celebrated their centennial anniversary, some people stepped up and made donations so that that church could move forward into its next season of ministry without any debt. Praise the Lord. We've been there for a number of years. We have been debt-free, I believe, since around 2001. And we don't intend to reverse course. So everything we do, we pay for as we go. It sometimes makes things slower as far as visible progress, but we love having the freedom to support missions, which is what being debt-free enables us to do. Zeal for your house is something that is an internal drive. It says, this is what I want to do. I love Merit Assembly of God. Not because I'm the pastor, but because I love the people. I love the community. I love building relationships. And I've always been a guy that looked at the potential more than I looked at the present reality. So let me take you over to Psalm 119 and verse 139. It will give you a little bit of a glimpse as to what this looks like. Verse 139 of Psalm 119 says this, "My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your word. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." And so zeal for the house of God means that you're going to have a zeal for the word of God. Even if other people forget it, you don't want to forget it. You recognize that the word of God is a blessing, not a liability, that it is pure. And because of that purity, that holiness, that truth, eternal truth, absolute truth, is something that society has been trying to chip away at and undermine. And yet zeal for the house of God says, look, the word of God is true. It should not be forgotten. It needs to be retained. It needs to be foundational, because when the storms of life come, we want to not only have heard the word, but we want to be doers of the word, so that when the waves arise and the rains fall down and the winds blow, that the word of God will still be sustaining us. So, what does that look like? It's a good question to ask yourself when you read something. What does that look like? Well, it means that you need to read the word. It means you need to study the word so you can learn the word, so you can live the word, so you can teach the word. So, I mean, you hear a lot of scripture on this. Probably one of the greatest compliments that I ever heard somebody say about me, somebody told me what they said is, are you sure that he's not the same denomination that we are? Because, man, he talks about the word an awful lot. As I do love the word. I describe myself to one person as a word nerd. I love the word, and the more that I feed on the word, the more that I love it. And so if you're going to have zeal for the house of God, you're going to have zeal for the word of God. And that's not going to be something that people are going to have to be forcing upon you. You're going to be longing for it yourself. And when you get hungry for the word of God, I'm here to tell you, you're going to need a new spiritual wardrobe, because you're going to be growing like a toddler at rapid rates, and you're going to just be growing by leaps and bounds. So another passage is John chapter 2. It says this, "After this, he," Jesus, "went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.' Then his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" I've got just a few minutes, and I want to share just a few things. So if I don't get to elaborate on them to a full extent, be zealous and dig deep for your own. Zeal for the house of God says if there's something going on in God's house that's not the way God wanted it to be done, then you get rid of those things out of the house of God. You don't tolerate. There are too many things being tolerated in God's house in our modern society that God has been very clear that he is not pleased with those things. We need to make sure that they are not allowed to be practiced in the house of God. Okay? So I've told our church, Psalm 133 talks about the commanded blessing that is poured out where the brethren dwell together in unity, even life forevermore. I said, Merit Assembly of God cannot function without the blessing of God to the extent that we need. So we are very, very determined to live in peace and harmony with one another. So you take the things out that aren't supposed to be there because people are not supposed to be exploited in God's house. They're not supposed to be manipulated in God's house, which was what was taking place in Jesus' day. And Jesus loves people. The church is there to be a blessing to people, not a place where people are supposed to be exploited. Okay? The third thing that I would tell you, I've got 2 minutes left here, is you got to remember what the house of God was created for, and then be zealous for that. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. Zeal for God's house says, let's get back to the original purpose, the original design, and that was that it would be a place where everybody could come and they could have an encounter with God, encounter the Word of God, and leave that encounter with a living relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, Zacharias, it was his time to go in and offer the sacrifice, and the people said, why is he hanging around so longer? Well, what was going on was there was an angel that was in there. He was having a conversation with Zacharias and said, your wife Elizabeth is going to be having a baby. Zeal for the house of God doesn't look like, I wonder what's the least amount of time I can spend in the house of God. Instead, zeal for the house of God says, man, I want to hear everything God has to say to me. I want to receive every blessing that he has for me. I want to become as much like Jesus as I possibly can. May the zeal of the house of God consume you and consume me. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.